Well, church, I'm going to start right off at the beginning of the message. I'm not going to build up into it. I'm just going to tell you right away. The 2019 theme for From the Heart Church Ministries Worldwide is preparing the church for the next move of God. Amen. Preparing the church for the next move of God. Now, I need to be clear from the start. The emphasis of this theme is not on what the next move of God is. So we don't want to start asking the questions, God, what are you about to do? We're not trying to predict the future. Too often Christians try to tell others what's going to happen. You know, I want to tell people what God's about to do. And sometimes we find ourselves saying things that are not true. So we're not trying to predict the future. That is not the focus of the theme. But what we need to know right now with respect to this theme is that God still moves. Church, God still moves. He has not taken his hand off of the world. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. That means all that's in the world belongs to God. All of its contents, everything belongs to him. Church, he is sovereign and he is still in control. Not only is our God still in control, he is still a compassionate and righteous God. That means that when God looks at people and he sees that people are in great distress, he moves. Whenever God sees that people are in great distress, he moves. He sets things in order. He moves to bring people back to him. He moves to bring people back to his word. It is God who ushers in reformation. It is God who brings about revival. Church, he moves. He moves to fulfill what he has promised. What has God promised all of us? He promised that no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you have done, and no matter where you have been, if you put your trust in him, he will rescue you. That's what he promises, and he does it because he loves. He loves us and he loves those who are lost. He is a compassionate God. But church, he's also a righteous God. So whenever he moves, he brings with his movement judgment. Church, we have to know that God's promises always come with judgment. God's promises always come with judgment. See, he will rescue those who turn to him. He will give them abundant life, new life. But God will also judge those who knowingly reject him, those who rebelliously continue to bring distress into the world through their sin. Church, God moves. He is compassionate and he is righteous. He moves, and that's good news, because there are people in this world who are looking for help. They are looking for hope. They are living in a distress-filled world, and they are looking for answers and searching for relief. And he has promised that he will address their current distress. God moves. But church, our focus is not on the fact that he will move. That's a given. God wants us to focus with this theme on preparing for his next move. Write this statement down in your notes. Before God moves, there is a time of preparation. Before God moves, there is a time of preparation. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Who am I preparing? Am I preparing myself? or am I preparing somebody else? Well, the answer is both. See, with this theme, we will learn that I must prepare myself so that I can do my part to help restore others. Amen. I must prepare myself so that I can do my part to help restore others. I'm going to give you five different definitions for the word prepare. And these are the definitions that go with the theme. But for us as a local church, we're going to focus in on definition two and definition four. But I'm going to give all five of them to you. The first definition of prepare is to make ready in advance. To make ready in advance. What does that mean? In other words, be ready before you need to be. Be ready before you need to be. I can't get ready when it's time to act. Prepare means to make ready in advance. But the second definition of prepare is this: to make ready to be used by God. To make ready to be used by God. In other words, we must equip ourselves internally and externally to be used by God. Church, if you want to be used by God, you have to be equipped. Sometimes we want God to use us, but we are not equipped. And if we try to help others and we try to restore someone else, when we ourselves need to be restored, that's going to be a hot mess. Amen. But we often do it. When we try to help someone and restore them when we are not restored, it's like trying to save a drowning person and you can't swim. Amen. See, if I can't swim, I don't need to jump in the water. I have to make myself ready to be used by God. Definition number three, to prepare means to make ready to deal with adversity. To make ready to deal with adversity. And that's an important definition because whenever you try to do the will of God, you can expect adversity. Yeah. Whenever you try to do right, you can expect wrong to come around the corner. So we have to be ready to deal with adversity. And that is such a significant thing because, you know, as Christians, we'll start off real strong. God, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to live my life for you. I'm going to glorify you in all that I do. And then adversity comes and we fall apart. As if we never expected that there would be any opposition. Even though Jesus said that in this world you shall have tribulation. Opposition is going to come. So we have to be ready to deal with adversity. To prepare means to make ready in advance. It means to make ready to be used by God. It means to make ready to deal with adversity. Definition number four, to prepare means to make ready through advanced planning. To make ready through advanced planning. What does that definition mean? Well, that definition means that there are three things that we have to do. And the first thing is going to be very familiar to all of us. The first thing we have to do is see. That is, we have to see the distress. See the current condition of our lives. See the current condition of the lives of those around us. Open our eyes and see. That's what we learned in 2018. We spent the whole year talking about the fact that we needed to wake up. That we needed to rouse to the realities around us. So the first thing we have to do to have advanced planning is we have to see. We have to open our eyes and see the condition for what it is. Not pretend like what we see is not real, but to open our eyes. But then after we see, there's something else we have to do. We have to foresee. What is foresight in this context? To foresee means not just to open my eyes and see what's happening, but to foresee says that I look at what's happening, and then I look at what's going to happen if I don't change. I look down the road and say, if things continue the way that they are going, what's going to happen in my life? What's going to happen to my life? See, that's foresight. That's what our young people need, is foresight. All of my young people in here, you have to have foresight. You cannot live by the moment, because the world tells you to live for the moment. Do what you want to do, do what you like to do, and you have to know that there's an end. That everything that I do has an end. That how I behave is taking me somewhere. That how I act is going to lead to something. I have to see, but then I have to foresee. To make ready through advanced planning means I see, I foresee, and then I have vision. I have vision. What does that mean? It simply means that I allow God to give me a plan. After I see the state of my life, and I foresee what will happen if I don't change, then I submit to a holy God. And I allow him to give me a plan to change what I foresee. To prepare means to make ready in advance. It means to make ready to be used by God. It means to make ready to deal with adversity. It means to make ready through advanced planning. And prepare means to make ready by establishing the will of God. To make ready by establishing the will of God. Church, your Bible should be in Isaiah chapter 62. And our scripture is going to come from verses 8 through 10. But let me tell you what's happening in Isaiah. Our theme scripture comes out of Isaiah chapter 62, and we have learned recently that Isaiah was a prophet, and he prophesied during a time of great spiritual and moral decline. The nation of Israel was divided, and it was divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Both kingdoms in the nation of Israel had become corrupt through sin. And during Isaiah's ministry, the northern kingdom fell to the Assyrian Empire. They were carried away into bondage, and it was God's judgment against them. But the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, they had not yet fallen as Isaiah ministered. But Isaiah yet prophesied. He said, there's coming a time when, just like the northern kingdom, you are going to be enslaved and carried away, all because of your sin. Church, I find it so interesting that so many people want to run around and be black Hebrew Israelites. They ought to read the Old Testament. God wasn't much pleased with the nation of Israel, but I digress. Here in Isaiah 62, Isaiah speaks of a future time. Come on, church, get back with me. Isaiah speaks of a future time when Judah would live in the shame of bondage. They would be in the shame of bondage, captive by the nation of Babylon. And they would be in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. What was going to happen to God's people who had gotten themselves carried away because of their sin? Well, verses 8 and 9 give us God's response and his answer. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 62, verses 8 and 9. It says, the Lord hath sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength. Surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the strangers shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. They that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Isaiah says that the Lord has sworn, and he swore by two things. He swore by his right hand, and he swore by the arm of his strength. What that signifies is that God took an oath. That's what his right hand means. It literally means God is saying, I have taken an oath. I have sworn. I have sworn, I have made a promise to you. And his arm signifies his power. So God is saying, I am promising you, even in the state that you're going to be in, Israel, I am taking an oath that I'm going to address your distress. And I back up my promise with my power. He's promising, I'm going to rescue you from bondage. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to return you to Jerusalem, that place of peace. And I'm going to make you whole. Now, that's a wonderful thing to get excited about, to shout about. But the interesting thing is that the Lord does not stop there. After he makes a promise, he turns and gives instructions to the people. Let's read verse 10. It says, go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Notice the repetitive nature of his instructions. A repetitive command is a command that is to be obeyed with intensity and urgency. He says, go through the gates. Cast up the highways. He makes a repetitive statement. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Cast up the highways. Gather out the stones and lift up a standard for the people. In other words, he's saying, I promise to address the distress, but my people, I need you to do something. I need you to make a way for the people. Church, this scripture speaks directly to where we are as a people. In the Bible, Babylon is always symbolic of sin and the bondage of sin. Where are we as a people? We are in spiritual Babylon. Church, we have been carried off into bondage because of sin. That's not everyone. That's not every family. But as a people, we have been carried off into the bondage of sin. You know what has become of us as a people? We are unrestricted, but we are not free. We are unrestricted, but we are not free. You know what I mean by unrestricted? Just unrestricted. Nobody can tell us anything. Nobody can tell me what to do. Nobody can give me direction for my life. I do what I please and when I please. Whatever I want to do, I'm going to do, and you can't stop me. Unrestricted in our life. And that's how we're bringing up our children. Can't talk to our children. Nobody better not correct my child. You better not say anything to them. You better leave them alone. Unrestricted and yet not free. Unrestricted and bound, because we do whatever we want to do. We are ruining ourselves and ruining our life. Bound to addiction, bound to depression, unrestricted. I'll do what I want to do, and yet I am bound by anger. I can't get a hold of myself. Bound to dead end living, failing in life because we cannot reel our flesh in. Failure produces failure. You heard me say that on Sunday. I'm going to say it all year long. Because we are unrestricted. Nobody can tell us what to do. We cannot be reined in. it produces failure. And failure produces failure. I can't stop messing my own self up. Unrestricted, but not free. Church, we are like the children of Israel. We are a people who work but produce little fruit to enjoy. That's what's happened to us as a society. We work, but we don't produce enough fruit to enjoy. You know what? We work and we labor, and others enjoy the fruit of our labor. That's what Isaiah was telling the people. We work and other people enjoy. We work, but the drug dealer enjoys the fruit of our labor because we give our money over to the drug dealer. We work, and yet our labor is not enjoyed by us. We work, young women, and the trifling man who's laying up in our bed is enjoying the fruit of our labor because he don't want to work, so I have to work to take care of him. I can't even buy clothes for my own children. Somebody else enjoying the fruit of my labor. We work, but the liquor store. We work and earn, but the liquor store enjoys the fruit of our labor. They get all of our money. We work and Apple enjoys the fruit of our labor. Whatever the latest technology is, I have to have it. I have to buy it. We are working and not enjoying the fruit of our labor. Church, as a society and as a community, and I'm talking about especially our people, we have resources, but nothing to show for the resources that we have. If we were to use our resources righteously, then we wouldn't have to worry about discrimination. We wouldn't have to worry about the poor public school system. We could build our own schools. We could have our own jobs if we took our own resources and used them righteously. But we work and have little fruit because we are unrestricted and bound. Church, do you realize that in the segregated South, in other segregated areas of this country, in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, that there were communities all over the country, black communities that were self-sufficient? Do you realize that? And when I say self-sufficient, self-sufficient, they had doctors, they had lawyers, they had accountants, they had everything they needed. Now, if we could, under segregation, be self-sufficient, why can't we make it right now? It is because we are unrestricted and we are bound. We are in spiritual Babylon. And what makes it worse is that, like the children of Israel, we gave birth to another generation while in captivity. So now we have generations in bondage. Parents, children, and grandparents. You can turn on the news and you can see parents strung out on drugs and their children strung out on drugs. And in some cases, you can see the grandma, the parent, and the child all strung out on drugs. We have birthed another generation of people in captivity. Whole families where no one in the family is right. And a generation that knows not God. Church, we are in spiritual Babylon. And this state of affairs in our community is causing our distress. But God has made a promise backed by his power. Church, he moves. God moves. In the situation that we see right now in our communities, God has promised to move. He has promised that he will rescue, that he will save, that he will restore, heal, and deliver. He has promised that he will give new life. And church, I'm glad that he moves. Because right now, if God was not willing to move in the society that we live in, it would already be too late. Because we have allowed things to go just that far. But God moves. And yet he is saying, church, I know what I'm ready to do. But I need you to prepare a way for his people. I know what I have promised to those who will receive me, but I need you to prepare a way for them. Well, why is God asking us to prepare a way? Because didn't we learn on Sunday that Jesus is the way? Yes, he is. But those in spiritual bondage don't have a way to get to him. See, because they're out there and we are in here. You know, it's like this. Think of this example. If someone took you to a wilderness place, a place that you had never been, dropped you off in the middle of that wilderness, and in that wilderness there were no paths and there were no markers, and then they said, now find your way back to the path. There's a main path that if you get to, you will get to safety. What's going to happen to that person who is in that wilderness? You can run around in the wilderness and die in the wilderness, just feet away from the path. Why? Because you don't see any markers. You have no way of getting to the path and getting to safety. Church, we have to understand that in the times that we live in, people have no idea how to get to Jesus. And especially this generation. And whenever you hear me say this generation, I'm talking about those who are 18 to 40, especially this generation. They don't know how to get to Jesus. Why? Because they were born into captivity. See, many of us, we remember when we were younger and we did our dirt. Oh, I know it got real quiet, but you all ain't been all sanctified and holy all your lives. When we all did our dirt. See, when we did our dirt in our 20s and some of us into our 30s, it was different because somebody told us about Jesus. We were raised to understand who Jesus is. We knew exactly who Jesus was. And so when we decided to go to our wilderness experience, we knew how to get back to the path. But this generation was born in captivity. They don't even know who Jesus is. Church, you would be amazed. See, Reverend and I, when we go out and we talk to different people, you all know that Reverend is an evangelist. You do know that. If you don't know, you know now. If you go anywhere with Reverend, he's going to stop a random person and he's going to say, how are you? You need Jesus. You need to come to my church. God is good. It doesn't matter, young or old, it doesn't matter. And so many times he has stopped young people. And the amazing thing is when you talk to them, it is clear that they don't know who Jesus is. Because some will say, well, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in the Bible. How can you believe in Jesus and not the Bible? Or they will say, well, I believe in the Bible, but I don't believe in Jesus. Or they'll say, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in Christianity. They don't know who he is. They don't know that he is the answer. They don't know why he is the answer. So they don't even know that they should be looking for him. And they certainly don't know how to find him. Born in captivity. They have no idea. And the reason they have no idea is because we're in here and they're out there. And while they are out there, they are being filled with all this garbage and nonsense. You know, anybody can pretend to be an expert on something. So they get on the internet and they listen to these people who make up stuff. Now, you know, the popular thing, people saying, well, you know, Christianity is a white man's religion. But Christianity came to be in the Middle East. Christianity was founded by people of color. Christianity grew in places like Africa and Asia. But see, I don't know that because I'm on the internet. See, they're out there. We're in here. They don't know how to find Jesus. So a way must be prepared for them. A clear path must be made for them to get to Jesus so that they can be saved. God is calling us to prepare a way for his people. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, this scripture gives us five things that we must do in order to prepare the way for God's people. The first thing this scripture teaches us is that we must be prepared ourselves. We must be prepared ourselves. See, because this scripture in verse 10 implies that I have the ability to do the work of building a road. Means that I'm prepared, that I am equipped, both on the inside and on the outside, to do a work for the Lord. What must we do? We have to be prepared, and then we have to leave our place of comfort. We must leave our place of comfort. Go through the gates. He says, go through the gates. The work is out there. We have to seek out this generation. Go to where they are. Because, you know, when we minister to young people, the other thing that we often hear young people say is they will never step foot in a church. So then what are we going to do? Are we just going to let them die and go to hell because they won't step foot in a church? Or are we just going to go to them? Go to where they are until we can bring them to where we are. We have to leave our place of comfort. Then we have to build a highway. What does that mean? It means we have to give access to Jesus. We have to give access to Jesus. And church, in the times that we live in, we have to do it in new and fresh ways because what we are doing right now is not sufficient. We have to be prepared. We have to leave our place of comfort. We have to build a highway, and we have to gather out the stones. What does that mean? To gather out the stones simply means we have to get rid of obstacles and stumbling blocks. Things that get in the way of people coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Obstacles and stumbling blocks. Some of the biggest stumbling blocks are those things in our own character, in our own conduct, that would cause a person who is lost or broken to stumble and fall. We have to get those things out of the way so that the path will be smooth. Those things that would trip up the lost and the hurting. Well, sometimes it's just simply my own understanding. You know, church, we have to know what we're supposed to know. And if we don't know, then we don't need to tell people anything. Sometimes we trip people up by giving them things that are not true. Because we have not taken the time to be assured of what it is we know in our faith. We have to gather out the stones. Then we have to lift up a standard. After we do those things, we prepare ourselves. We leave our place of comfort. We build a highway. We gather out the stones. Then we must lift up a standard. That is, raise a banner and raise a flag. In other words, I'm raising a banner for all to see. What is that banner? It is the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. It is raising Jesus high and lifted up, putting him on bold and public display so that when people come from the place of hurt and they are restored, healed, delivered, and set free, when we lift up the banner, we let the world know it's Jesus. Make no mistake what's going on in From the Heart Church Ministries of Cincinnati. It's all about Jesus Christ. We have to lift up a standard. Church, our theme is all about restoration. And if we do what God requires of us, He will restore. He'll restore our children. He'll restore our parents. He will restore our families and our communities if we do what He is calling us to do. But church, if we don't, our families will die. Our communities will die. And our church will die. Let me give you the intent, purpose, objectives, and goal, and then we will be done. The intent of this year's theme is to make the church ready. It is to make the church ready, both individually and collectively. That means that everyone must do their part to be ready to do what God needs. Everyone must do their part to be ready to do what God needs. This is a dispensation of preparation. It is a dispensation of preparation. What is the purpose of this year's theme? In other words, what do we want to do? The purpose of this year's theme is that we focus our attention on the work. That we focus our attention on the work. What is the work? The work is to make a way for His people. It is to make a way for His people. That is to get God's people saved, restored, and made ready. In other words, this year I have to get ready so that I can make the next generation ready. I have to get ready so that I can make the next generation ready. Ready for what? Ready for whatever is to come. The theme of this year has three objectives. The first objective is to understand the next move of God. This year, we want to understand the next move of God. Why is there a next move of God? Well, that's how we started on tonight. Whenever there is distress, God moves. Whenever there is distress, He moves. God is moving because He has heard the cry of His people. See, there are people out there who are crying out to God. They don't know what the answer is, but they want something different. And they're crying out to Him, and God has heard their cry. Remember what I said on Sunday about how God loves. The fact that He loves when we long stop loving. So those people that we have pushed aside and we just assume they don't care about their life. Those people that we look at and we say, well, you just want to be like you are. God loves them and He hears their cry. God moves because He's heard the cry of His people. God moves because there's a promise unfulfilled. If there are people in this world searching for the answer, and they don't have it, then a promise has been unfulfilled. If there are people in this world searching for the answer, and they don't have the answer, and they don't have the answer because we are in here and they are out there, then a promise is unfulfilled. God moves because there's a place we have not yet arrived. There are people that this church needs. There are people who need to be restored. And when they are restored, they will minister to you. There's a place we have not yet arrived. We are not where we need to be. Yes, we are a good church. Yes, this is the best church. But there is a place that we need to elevate to. God is moving. Because there are people who still don't have rest. There are a people who still don't have rest. They are looking, but they don't have it. That's why God moves. So let's prepare the way. Church, let's prepare the way. The first objective this year is to understand the next move of God. The second objective is to prepare for the next move of God. Our second objective of this year's theme, we want to learn to prepare for the next move of God. And it is in this objective that we will spend a lot of time. Because we have to understand that the key to preparation is restoration. The key to preparation is restoration. God is giving us the work of restoration. We are to restore the lost and the hurting. And we must restore this generation. See, in 2018, we learned that salvation is just the beginning. That's why last year I taught us that we can't fall in love with the altar call. That the work doesn't start until after a person leaves the altar. That there's a work that needs to be done so that when people leave the altar, they are restored. What do we mean by restoration? Restoration means to be recovered. It means to be recovered. Restoration means to be rebuilt. To be rebuilt. Restoration means to be healed and repaired. You know, you come to Christ broken and hurting. You give your life to Christ. But when you walk away from that altar, you are still broken, hurting, and you need some areas in your life repaired. Church, we have to restore. God sees the distress, promises to give the answer, but we must connect people to his promise. Now, church, that's no small undertaking. And that's why we're going to spend a lot of time in this objective, because it's going to require a lot of different things. See, it's going to require first that we understand our current state. In other words, how did we get here? How did we get here as a society? How did things go so badly? How did things turn so wrong so quickly? How did we get here? We must know that so that we know what we must do. We have to understand our current state. And then this year, we're going to have to prepare ourselves. Because we cannot restore others if we are not restored. Church, this year is as much about restoring ourselves as it is restoring other people. There are some things that we need to be healed of. There are some things that we need to be delivered of. We don't need to keep going round and round in our life. Repeated cycles of, God, I'm going to do better. Repenting and then falling into sin again. There are some things that we just need to be over, that we need to be done with. There are some broken areas in our life that need to be fixed. There's some damage that we have ignored that needs to be addressed. Church, we need to be restored. We need to be restored individually and collectively. See, there's some restoration that needs to take place in the local church. There are some things that have gotten in the way of us being used by God more effectively. There are some things that are broken that are in disrepair in us as a church. And we need to fix those things so that God can use us to restore others. Church, this year is the year to be healed, delivered, and made strong. We have to prepare ourselves. Restoration requires that we understand our current state. It requires that we prepare ourselves, and it requires that we focus on the work. That we focus on the work. What is the work? Restoring this generation. So that means we have to go through the gates, leave our place of comfort. We have to cast up the highway, give people access to Jesus. We have to gather out the stones. We have to deal with those things that are stumbling blocks in our life that would cause people to fall. We have to lift up a standard. Church, we have to focus on the work. And if we're going to restore, not only must we understand our current state, prepare ourselves, focus on the work, but we must continue. We must continue. Because once you lead someone to Jesus, the work has just begun. We must continue. Because there's damage in them that must be repaired. People need to be made whole. You have heard me say this time and time again. There are people who are lost and are hurting, and they don't know how to live. There are basic things that we know because we were raised with parents who taught us something. But there is a generation who has not been taught how to live life. And so we're going to have to continue with them and walk with them so that they will know how to live. There are young people, they don't know how to talk. They don't know that you're supposed to look someone in the eye. They don't know how to shake someone's hand. They don't know that they're supposed to pull their pants up. They don't know that they're not supposed to stink and smell funky. They don't know. We have to continue. So what are our objectives? To understand the next move of God. To prepare for the next move of God. And then the third objective of this year's thing is to make a way for God's people. Church, we have to make a way for God's people. What do we mean by that? We want to have an established course or pattern of life. An established course or pattern of life. We want to have established directions. In other words, this is how God made me whole. And this is what you need to do. Do what I have done, and you're going to be all right. An established course of life, established directions. We need to have a pattern of restoration for God's people. Church, the goal of this year's series, or this year's theme, is to establish the will of God. To establish the will of God. What is God's will? God's will is that we be established as a church. God's will is that we be established as a church. He wants his church to be a praise in the earth. A church that people can look to and say, those are God's holy people. But right now, where we are not established. In fact, as a church, we are in an unsustainable position. Because in this church, like every From the Heart church all around the world and many churches, there is a whole generation of people who are missing. We are in an unsustainable position. Because in 10, 15, 20 years, who is going to lead the church? Because in order to lead the church, you need to be whole. Amen. In order to lead the church, you have to be more than just saved. Who is going to lead this church? There's a whole generation of people missing from the church. And if we don't restore this generation, our families will die and the church will die. But church, if we get restored, and if we restore this generation and we give them a pattern to follow, they'll be able to make it when we're gone. Amen. Won't matter what comes their way. It won't matter that life gets even more difficult. If we give them a pattern to live by, they will be able to make it when we are gone. And they will be able to teach their children to make it. Amen. We can get our families established. Our church will be established. And if our church is established and our families are established, then we will have generational success. Amen. Generational success in your family. Generational success in the church. Church, I don't know about you. I don't want to go home to be with the Lord knowing I left a mess. That I left a mess that somebody else cannot deal with. Church, it is time for us to prepare for the next move of God. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed.